Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, of course, an advocate of health freedom, as well as the rule of law. And today we're joined by two very special guests, one I've interviewed before, who's a phenomenal individual. His name is Todd Callender. He's an attorney and much more, a public educator and advocate for truth and justice. And we're also joined by Lisa McGee, who is a researcher for VaxChoice.com, among other projects. And what these two individuals bring to us today is a shocking, breaking story about the fact that it appears that key members of the Biden administration have never taken oaths of office. And so they're not legally sworn in as representatives of these United States of America. And if that's the case, then it means that they are operating under, they're bluffing, basically, and they actually have no political power. But we'll get into the details. Welcome, Todd and Lisa. It's an honor to have you both on.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you both. It's great to have you. And I think our audience knows Todd Callender. We've interviewed Todd before. Lisa, can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Lisa McGee, and I have been working with Todd and his on his team for, probably 2.5 years? It'll be 3 years in the fall. I reached out to Todd for some personal legal help. I was fired from my teaching job for not getting the vaccine, and that turned into a life-changing career as a researcher and just being guided by Todd. He's got the hand of God on his shoulder.
Exactly. Well said. And again, welcome, Todd. And your legal practice has helped a great many people in a number of ways, but just to kind of summarize that real quickly, how would you describe your focus right now?
Yeah, we really came together, myself and a couple of other lawyers, Lisa included, to try and stop the shots. We filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Defense, where our case still exists. We sued the DOD, HHS, FDA. The issue remaining today is whether or not the people that got the shots are somebody else's chattel property. That has expanded into a lot of other issues, as you can imagine. We spend a great deal of time helping people avoid shots and recover their monies, recover their damages from workplaces that fired them for not taking the shots or other places that discriminated against them. And that's why our law firm's named Disabled Rights Advocates.
Oh, yeah, good point. Let me show your website here for people. DRAdvocates.com, Disabled Rights Advocates, is your law firm's website. So, folks, you can check out more things there. If you want to contact the firm, you can do that through this form. And VaxChoice that I mentioned before is right here, VaxChoice.com, an outstanding site, a lot of information. And Lisa McGee is, again, a researcher involved in this effort as well. So getting to the issue at hand for both of you, can you just kind of present your findings? Because it's rather shocking for people to hear that these people have not apparently ever taken oaths of office.
Yeah, that's right. It's quite a story. So Lisa, as she mentioned, has been working with us for a couple of years now. And from the time I filed the lawsuit against the DOD, we just kept running into very strange issues as it related to the conduct of the DOD itself, calling these shots, countermeasures, effectively weapons. And so Lisa decided to put a Freedom of Information Act request into the DOD to see, number one, whether or not the Secretary of Defense, or I should say Mr. Austin, had registered under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, number one, and number two, whether he had a valid oath of office. Oddly enough, it was taking some of the neighborhood of 9 months before we got the information. We were gearing up to sue to enforce the FOIA request. And about that time, along came the affidavit of Secretary, Mr. Austin, and a whole lot of other people, the entire cabinet, effectively. And to our very much surprise, we came to find that all of the affidavits for the oath of office, as required by law, 5 U.S.C. 3331 and 3332, they were all either defective or missing entirely.
So what does this mean in a practical sense? I mean, it sounds like they are imposters.
Well, this is the funny part. You could expect that maybe somebody forgot to have their oath of office notarized. right? Because that's really where we see the common defect. But not to have the entire cabinet's oaths of office completely missing. You know, these are required by law. How else would we prove there is a duty of this person serving this role to the people that they are representing or the people that, the government represents? And so there's a requirement of a written oath that comes all the way back from the Civil War. And if they're missing that, the statute reads that all of their acts are void ab initio, as though they didn't happen. Effectively, what you said is right. They're actors. They're not official at all.
Well, what about Joe Biden?
Yeah, he has a separate oath. It's really interesting. His comes from the Constitution itself. From what we can see, there's nothing requiring him to have a written oath of office.
Okay, so you're talking then primarily about the cabinet members. Anyone else?
Yeah, including the quote-unquote vice president. That's why I kept saying I'm not sure I should call him Secretary Austin. He's Mr. Austin. He doesn't have that official title if he's not there serving lawfully. And that was the question. We filed a writ quo warranto, comes from Old England. Show your authority. By what authority do you act? And we filed it with the U.S. attorney because one of the things you'll see as you look through the exhibits is the attorney general's oath of office is defective. Not only is it not notarized, it doesn't have an appointment date. So by the time we filed this writ with the U.S. attorney, Lisa's other FOIA came back, and sure enough, he also has a defective oath of office. Well, so who then is serving lawfully? And by the way, sorry, Mike, that's the guy prosecuting the January Sixers.
I was going to make that exact point. Stuart Rhodes just sentenced to 18 years in prison, apparently under the, quote, authority of an attorney general who you are saying does not have a functioning oath of office, which would lead many people to question whether that attorney general is actually the attorney general or just Mr. Garland.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Lisa, you want to chime in?
Well, for the this ties in with January 6ers as well. The United States District Attorney of D.C., Matthew Graves, who we served the writ to, but is prosecuting most of the January 6ers. He also has a deficient oath, and so you know it's that in and of itself is huge, but. Yes, it was very, you know, when I started this, it was Austin first, and then thought, well, why I need to do everybody, you know, why stop there? And as Todd said, we started getting these immediate pushback emails back. And, you know, well, once you submit a FOIA, they are required to respond. So they do respond, but it is in, we're going to send you here, we're going to send you there. You know, they send you every other department, but the one that you're inquiring about and where they should have the information. I mean, it got to be comical, but it isn't because it's horrendous. And very early on, you know, it's like this light bulb of like, why wouldn't these people have their oath of office? I mean, wouldn't you be proud to present your oath of office? It should be a very easy task to provide. And another thing that's very important to note, which I wasn't aware of the importance of, I mean, I was aware of it, but just the profound significance of the Federal Register. Every single appointee has to file their oath of office notarized or their affidavit. I always forget what it's called, Todd. If they choose not to get it notarized,
there's a substitute. It's sworn under penalty of perjury.
Thank you. But those have to be filed within 30 days with the Federal Register of their appointment. And recently, the FOIA agency has closed the ability to FOIA to the Federal Register since Biden's taken it.
Wow. So closing the door to protect the secrecy. Yeah. I have a lot of questions. I'm sure our audience will as well. But question number one is, if I go to the Federal Registry, or if I were able to, and look at, let's say, Trump's cabinet, all those officials have oaths of office on file?
He's now archived because he's no longer, you know, he's a previous president. So he and I have, we FOIA'd for those. Very lovely letter back from a representative saying that, I mean, very official, like they should be. All these other letters have not been, the typos and, you know, different things. They are not able to provide those yet because they're setting up his library, but they will as soon as they're able to, because I don't quite understand why they wouldn't still be in the register, but Todd, I don't know if they're current.
I do have an answer to that as well, Mike. What we've come to find is that this is rampant, that it probably goes back to 1964. In 1963, on January 10, the Communist Manifesto called The Naked Communist was read into the Congressional Record. 55 or so items were listed there, number 13 of which was to eliminate the oath of office. It's like a tick-back exercise. How do you destroy the United States of America? How do you eliminate sovereignty? All the things in Agenda 21 were put there. Mind you, later that year, November 22 of 1963, President Kennedy was assassinated. And so as we are looking for these various oaths in the states, we're finding missing ones for sheriffs, for governors. We're finding the same thing now throughout the federal government. Even in the military, it seems as though officers kind of 06 and higher are missing their oaths of office. It's the statute requires it, right? What we want to know is, why don't you have it? How? And we're trying to get to a court to say, hey, judge, you know, you ask them, you subpoena them, you issue the writ. I'm just a private lawyer. But getting to the court is also not such an easy thing to do, given that we're starting to find the oaths of offices of judges are also defective.
And when you say defective, does that mean it's missing notarization or missing a signature,
yes,
or what?
Amongst other things.
Okay.
Yeah. Missing notarizations is the most common one. But sometimes we found, Lisa can share, that the language has changed. You know, the language that they have to swear to is a function of statute. Judges have some additional language. Other people, Congress people, have three different types of language. But you find sometimes they just substitute it in their own stuff.
What?
Yeah. This is by statute.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're just ad-libbing their oaths of office?
So we had, and there were, so they take a ceremonial swearing in. That does not equate or represent or substitute the written oath of office. So
it
doesn't count. Secretary, I'm not even going to call her Secretary, Yellen, Granholm for Energy, and Buttigieg for Transportation sent links, and Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, sent links to either YouTube or C-SPAN and of their ceremonial swearing in. Two of them have masks on, so you can't even hear them. But that doesn't, and they actually presented it as a question to me, an official letterhead. Is this what you're looking for?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part, Lisa. What was that?
So this is very interesting, and I think this really does bear weight. Kamala Harris swore them all in. She was the official person, so she recited the oath, and then they repeated her. Every single one, and I went through these like 25 times, listened to make sure that this is accurate. She switched the wording on the verbal reciting of it for them on each and every one of them. She switched up a different word, and it's very subtle, but each one of those have recited an incorrect, inaccurate oath.
So this, first of all, this is fascinating, and I can imagine you're digging down this rabbit hole. You're probably uncovering all kinds of little pathways of question marks, but there is, you know, a contingent of people in this country who believe that the 2020 election, of course, was stolen. I mean, I believe it was stolen, but there's another contingent of people who believe that the Biden administration is a theatrical, right, I don't know, a projection of, they're bluffing. They're all imposters. They're not really in charge. And that there's what they call a continuity of government. Like Trump is still the president, and COG is still actually in charge, and they're waiting for some big unveiling event or something. I mean, this, what you're presenting here, kind of actually might feed into that narrative, you could say.
Yeah, it could. I mean, that's sort of what we're, either that or how far has it gone back? You know, was Trump not really in office either if the oaths haven't been properly, if they're not properly executed and filed at the, you know, within the, with the Federal Register. What is interesting, we did, which may be to your point, when I filed the FOIA for the Chief Justice, Chief Judge of the United States District Courts in Washington, D.C., that's a, you know, heavy hitter, James Boasberg, it came back shockingly, like within a couple of days, it's defective. I also, that the same day, requested for all of Trump appointees. Now, it wasn't necessarily, I mean, it was to compare, but just to see previous judges. We have not gotten anything. It's been 2 months.
So is it possible that we've been living in a country that is no longer the constitutional republic that we thought for a very long time? Is that what you're saying?
Todd can answer that. I mean, it's terrifying to think about.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Can I just go back and explain something that's really important? I want people to understand the significance of this. Because trust me, we've had this conversation. I've got co-counsel Ken Ferguson, and then Lisa and I, and other lawyers in my firm. We've batted this around a lot. To understand that one person, right, maybe didn't find a notary to swear their oath in front of. I understand that. But when you see a pattern where all of them didn't do that, then there's a methodology, right? There's a plan to this. And why would one do that? We started flipping through the charges that might be applicable, including impersonating a federal official. But when you get to the jury instructions as they relate to the charges of sedition and treason, what you find is that you have to prove that these persons that you're accusing of treason or sedition had a duty. How does one evidence that they have a duty to the job or to the people they represent? It's by the written oath of office. And so if all of these people are missing their oaths of office, is it possible that they're trading out in their minds, well, we're not going to hang for treason, but they might get us for impersonating federal officials? That's where the analysis leads you to.
Very good point. And especially in the context of what I believe has been a DOD-created biological weapon that was unleashed upon the American people by the military leaders, by people in the bureaucracy, high-level people, including in various agencies. As you know, both of you have documented this. So perhaps those people, as you just said, Todd, would be concerned that they might, let's say, theoretically, if prosecuted, you know, hang for treason if they had oaths of office. So they don't. So by design, then, they don't have oaths of office, which might lessen some future charge against them. Is that the thinking?
Yeah, that's exactly the thinking.
Wow.
Otherwise, how does one account for this? Aside from the Communist Manifesto, got that. But you find it so rampant. And what bothers me the most about it is how hard is it to find a notary?
It's not
hard. In the case of the, you know, exactly. You can do it online. And by the way, thanks to COVID, there's an alternate statute that says if you can't use a notary, then you can swear it under penalty of perjury. And that is also good. None of these are sworn under penalty of perjury. And what Lisa said, could it be more true? Look, if you hold that oath, if you're the Secretary of Homeland Security, I'd have that thing framed on my wall. Mayorkas couldn't be bothered to do it at all. It doesn't exist.
Which I wanted to, that's funny that you're bringing him up, not funny. We just, it took a while to get his. They actually sent, and it was a very, I don't want to, this is a personal opinion, but the letter was very abrupt. And, you know, yes, we've decided that we're able to give this to you. He's a public servant. Any citizen should ask for, if they ask for an oath of office, it's not a privilege to get it. It is a right. I mean, it should just be handed over without, oh, we've decided and, you know, met and decided that you could have it. Well, they didn't bother to even send a link, or it was literally, Mike, I think it was the Associated Press news segment, like the highlight in the newspaper of him swearing in. Secretary, you know, Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas gets sworn in today. And it was like a photo op picture. That's what they sent that they think suffice as a copy of his notarized oath of office.
Well, this obviously, this is not the first, you know, perhaps counterfeit situation, you know, counterfeit office, counterfeit authority, or counterfeit documents. Of course, Barack Obama himself was embroiled in a controversy over his birth certificate. And at one point, his staff was so incompetent, they released a Photoshop file of his birth certificate that still had the individual layers where if you ran Photoshop, you could open it up and see the 17 layers or whatever it was. They forgot to flatten it into one image. So it was obviously a counterfeit fraud document, even with Barack Obama. So this potentially does go back a long way. And some might argue, I mean, I've heard these theories. I'm not an expert on this. I'm not saying that I'd advocate it, but I've heard people say that the United States of America's founding was in some way like a corporation beholden to the City of London or something like that. Does that ring a bell in any way?
Sure.
Well, sure. The Federal Reserve, right? Todd can explain.
Yeah, that's right. And actually before that, yeah, there are bits of history that are missing from our timeline that we're aware of. The short answer to your question is yes, there are corporate elements to our government. Yes, they have become indebted almost immediately after the creation of this country to foreign powers, and namely the United Kingdom, the City of London, as well as the monarchy itself. So when you are in debt to somebody, then you owe them a duty. Versus in this case, you swear an oath of office, your duty is to your citizens. And I guess that's my point, Mike, in this whole thing. I want people in uniform to understand this. You swore an oath, right? You're there because you actually care about people and you want to do the right thing for your country. But the people above you, they're issuing you orders. Let's say, for instance, Mr. Austin, who ordered 1.4 million people to effectively commit suicide, put this experimental dangerous shot in your arm, use of force authorized. That was an order, and it was an illegal order on the basis that his oath of office is defective. It may be we need a judge to tell us that, but that is, in fact, the facts in front of us. Imagine how many things that have been done, at least over the last 2 years, that should be undone because all those acts are void ab initio. And I want people to think about this. You're going to get another order, whether it's law enforcement or it's in the military, to enforce a law, to enforce an edict from the WHO. Who do you serve? Do you serve the guy giving the order, or do you serve your country? And I think people have to start thinking about that very seriously.
Well, exactly. And this could also give some weight to those who say, I refuse to follow illegal orders from, from a so-called official who is an imposter. And since you brought up Mayorkas, I've publicly stated that I believe he is engaged in acts of treason against this nation, and that he should be prosecuted and charged with treason because
how would we prove it?
Well, exactly. That's I was just getting that. But he is, you know, he's keeping the border wide open. He is engaging in the migrant camps, funding the camps that we've actually shown tours with our correspondent, Michael Yon, here on this channel. Mayorkas is effectuating an invasion of the United States, which is an act of treason.
And participating in trafficking.
And human trafficking, exactly. And weapons trafficking. And illegal drugs trafficking. All of this, Mayorkas is the worst human trafficker in the history of this nation, most likely. But how could we ever hold him to account if even the DOJ, the AG, doesn't have an oath either?
Yeah, so here's the good thing. If he's in somebody's county, the sheriff has the ability to arrest him for impersonating a federal official. Every state has those style of statutes. They don't need federal law to do that.
Is there a sheriff with enough courage to actually do that?
Yeah, well, we're going to find out, aren't we? And I don't know if you know, do you know Colonel Pete Chambers by chance, Dr. Chambers?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had him as a guest in studio here.
Yeah. Yes. Good friend of mine. And what you're seeing here, Mike, is Colonel Chambers is now the chief law enforcement officer for the Republic of Texas, which has some sovereignty established long ago and recognized internationally as such. He would have the authority to do that, by the way. And what I'm trying to say is that if our government is a fraud, people should go and be a part of a government that isn't a fraud. And I think that's the whole discovery part of this process. If we can't get redress in our courts because none of those judges are lawfully serving, if we can't get redress in front of a legislature because they're all acting, where do we go? And it wasn't that long ago, maybe even 150 years ago, that states were competing for citizens, right, to become states. They were territories. We have that same dynamic going on here.
So you're saying that Colonel Pete Chambers could deputize people to arrest Alejandro Mayorkas if Mayorkas stepped foot in the state of Texas?
In their defined area. And if they were to put together, for instance, mutual legal assistance treaties with their local sheriffs, and I don't mention that in a vacuum, that is actually happening. As long as their authority is recognized, then the answer to that question is yes.
Wow. Well, how do we get Mayorkas to come to one of those areas and make this happen?
I think they're working on that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll be watching.
I wanted to say one thing, too, that's very, very important in this. You know, everybody, I don't want to say I'm a nobody, but I was affected by the, you know, vaccine mandate and heavily, and it was very hard, but I chose not to get it, but getting fired. And I joined, I have a son, and his school started threatening just that they were going to set up a vax clinic, you know, and that they would have 15-year-olds. My son was a sophomore in high school, make the decision during lunch to get the vaccine without letting parents know. I don't know if you guys can hear. I'm in Colorado. We're getting a massive hailstorm.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
And so I became involved with other parents, mama bears, and learned everything about it and learned about the law, learned about these oaths. So we started locally, the state in Colorado, it's called the CORA. It's called CORA for school members, school board members, oaths. They don't have them. I mean, everybody, you know, from the city, you know, your local city councilman to Austin, everyone is supposed to have an oath. And so that is how, you know, we could be getting another mandate soon, you know, Ebola, Marburg, whatever's coming. They're going to put masks again. Parents, people, citizens have got to start, you know, filing these oaths to get, they're filing FOIAs to get these oaths of people. Teachers are supposed to take oaths to the Constitution. You know, I mean, public servants.
Yes.
That's a lot of people. And it really needs to happen because it was appalling to find out that these school board members, 4 out of the 6 school board members at my son's school didn't have oaths of office with the Secretary of State. And they're making these decisions, major medical decisions on our children. And it's good. I mean, in 2 years, it's gotten worse what they're allowing.
I would imagine that some of these people actually do have other oaths. Maybe they've sworn secretly an oath to the CCP or an oath to Satan or something like that. So they, you know, they may have other oaths and other loyalties that we just don't know about. I mean, that's clear. But what do our listeners do with this? I mean, is anybody else going to take action to demand these oaths of office?
Yeah, we, Lisa and I were just talking about that because in our cadre of people who help, we've got quite a few volunteers that were really bothered by this subject matter in particular. And they've raised up an army. And so Lisa's going to, she's going to lead the army. We're going to find out who has them, who doesn't, name and shame, because we need people to come to understand that you're paying taxes to a fraud. You're following orders from a fraud. And people, if you give them the right information, if you give them the truth that they can verify for themselves, they'll do the right thing. We just got to get people to understand it.
Yeah, well said. Well, it's extraordinary. I mean, I never imagined that we would be having this conversation, but here we are. I can say, in my opinion, that it's clear that Biden and Austin and Mayorkas and others are absolutely not working for the interests of the United States of America. Very clear.
That's right.
They're working for either some globalist interest or the CCP or satanic, like I said before. Even if they took an oath, it would be a false oath anyway. They would lie in the oath just as they'd lie to us about everything.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that make perfect sense then why they wouldn't take it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the weird things I was thinking about this, Mike, when we looked at the oaths of office of the judges, And you go through the analysis. You know, when you go into the courtroom, who administers the oath? You know, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth? It's not the judge. It's the clerk. And when you start reading through who has authority to issue the oaths of office, clerks are authorized. You find the vice president is authorized. There are effectively named people or groups of people. But when you find there are just Joe Blow witnesses that seem to have signed all these various oaths that are not notarized, it's almost like it's a joke on us. Yeah. You know, it's almost malicious that they're mocking us.
You know, I have, Todd, I have another source that told me something a few months ago that I just kind of blew off until now. Let me run this by you, and I can't validate this, but this source told me that articles of surrender to China had already been drawn up by the Biden administration in preparation for a national surrender. I thought, that how could that be? That's not possible. But then you start
not
to see all the military age CCP young men that have crossed the border, you know, hundreds of thousands.
That's right.
They are occupying, and then I've interviewed other people that talk about the staging of weapons by CCP agents in the United States. And then I have another source that said, well, that includes dirty bomb material. It includes explosive vests. It includes SAMs, surface-to-air missiles, that can be carried by one man, and also small mortars that can be used to attack domestic infrastructure. And they said there's going to be an activation day where these Chinese CCP military agents, or People's Liberation Army, are going to be told to have a purge and attack the U.S. from within. Then suddenly, this article of surrender idea could make sense. What do you think?
Well, two things I want to add to that. Number one, I've come to understand from our own whistleblowers, our firm represents a lot of them, that the entire air wing of the U.S. Army is down, and intentionally so. They've been grounded. Those very same people are concerned that it's to deprive Americans from close air support should they need it in an event like you discussed. Having said all of that, the law of war itself is the operable point here. It's the Fourth Hague Convention says that when an enemy occupies substantial government functions, the war is won. So who is in the Oval Office, right? Who are they working for? What about Mr. Austin? You know, are those jobs, substantial government functions, are they being operated by foreign powers? What about immigration? And I think there's a very good argument to say, yes, you mentioned it yourself. It was your own thought process. Who do they work for? So all of that together cumulatively makes a lot of sense. So it's daunting and frightening.
Well, and that might lead into this, which I forgot to mention, Mike. They what we started to notice early on, I think there were five of the appointees, secretaries, our responses are from third-party vendors. They are contracting with third-party vendors to respond for FOIAs.
Wow.
But
there,
yeah. And I researched, some of the responses were odd, and different people on them, you know, there'd be, with Austin's particularly, and with Granholm's Energy. And so I inquired, and I did a little research, and FOIA analysts are supposed to be practicing or licensed attorneys. I asked for their credentials, legal credentials, and it was like, you know, abrupt responses.
They got upset.
Yeah, they got upset, and then they just blew me off.
Wow, so it's almost like third-party corporate entities are behind these people. It's like... Secretary Austin, here's my oath of office, brought to you by Carl's Jr., you know, or whatever, which is
9 months later.
Yeah.
Right.
9 months.
It's like they're not even equipped to answer a public inquiry into a very basic procedural requirement.
Yes, that's correct.
That is extraordinary. It really indicates either an extreme level of incompetence or something far more nefarious, a design to avoid these oaths of office.
Well, and we FOIA'd, I have FOIA'd for other things, and this is interesting, just with the Department of Defense, Todd, what you were just saying about the airline, the airspace. It was on some vaccine ingredients or something to do with the vaccine, but there was an automatic letter that came back from them, like from 2 years ago, like this, we're still closed for COVID. Like no one had, you know, taken that off of their site to say, well, we're still maybe working remotely, but we're back up. I mean, it was like that automated, you know, auto, due to COVID restrictions, we are limited in our ability to provide assistance.
Lisa, is that hail that I'm hearing now?
Yes, it's horrible.
That's crazy. It sounds like someone's hammering on your roof.
We have had, I mean, I'm in Denver, Colorado, and it's been raining hard like this for the last 2 weeks. It's weird. I can shut my mic off.
Okay. No. It's only when you're talking, we got a little bit of that, but I'm just surprised at how loud the sounds are. But nevertheless, that's the least of our problems right now. We're trying to save the Republic here. And it is like every day is hail. Going through this one way or another. So Todd, where do we go from here on all of this? Because I can see that a judge is just going to probably try to laugh this out of court. Say, who cares about oaths of office? Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares, right? And it seems like the justice system has turned to idiocracy at this point, where there's no like reason and rationality, and the rule of law never apply anymore. It's just whatever the politics are.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I'm sorry, I seem to have lost Lisa in the process of this. I think that's the point entirely, Mike. You know, there are 25 million people in our country that have opted out of the system. They've revoked their consent to being collateral, to being chattel property for the debt that was incurred by their birth certificates. I think that's where this leads, is that people are coming to understand this really is a facade. We have not only been defrauded on a financial basis, but our own government has committed war crimes, not only against us, against the world. So how is it that it's so hard to understand this? Why can't we believe what's in front of us? We know that these were pathogenic. We know that our country built them. We know that our country required them. And now we can't seem to get our head around the fact that our government is probably fraudulent all the way around, including those of office. At what point do we say no more? At what point do we restore our republic? I don't understand the mentality.
Well, I don't either. I'm glad you brought that up, because not only does it appear that the current regime in power is fraudulent, but of course the money is fraudulent, right? So we have a debt-based currency, which is not really money at all. It's a debt instrument. Yeah. It's an instrument of enslavement that's being printed every day in enormous quantities by the trillions. And we're on the verge, I believe, of a debt implosion it's going to cascade at some point here. I want to ask you specifically about that, though. And we have global de-dollarization happening, of course, a lot of countries abandoning it. When the dollar collapses, which none of us know a date, but when the dollar collapses, how does this facade of a counterfeit government remain in power at all? It seems like they would collapse as well, because printing money is their primary means of staying viable.
So if you go back to the owners of this world, their motto is ordo ab cal. That's Latin for order from chaos. If you think about it, if you were to destroy a country, wouldn't you want to destroy it in every way? Wouldn't you want gun owners to be sick so they couldn't use their weapons? Wouldn't you want to deprive them of food, fuel, water? Wouldn't you want a maximum of stress and distrust between law enforcement and the people? Wouldn't you want those dollars to be absolutely worthless so people couldn't buy and sell goods and services? All of those things are the perfect storm for exactly that, creating maximum chaos. Another country steps in. What does it matter if the dollar exists or not? And I think that you're absolutely right. We have been listening openly now. Janet Yellen, acting as the Treasury Secretary, acting being the operative word here, right, is openly talking about defaulting on the U.S. debt to the Federal Reserve. Well, I mean, it's almost what a joke, because if you look at the Federal Reserve is a private central bank. And at the end of the day, the owner of the Federal Reserve is the same as the IMF, who lent the money in the first place to create all of this nonsense. It's just it's a big game, and the money goes round and round, and the joke is on us. So I think that you've got it exactly. Roll in a new Marburg attack, a new public health emergency of international concern at the same time, you'll get maximum chaos.
And that seems to be exactly where this is headed. Lisa, your comments?
Well, that agreed. I mean, it's, you know, again, when I started this, they start coming in, and this idea that the pain and suffering that these individuals, you know, I think they were the minions that were told what to do and are complicit, you know, in this pain and harm and suffering of people. But no public official who had, you know, had the backs of their citizens and was also a citizen of this country. I mean, they themselves are citizens of the United States. What they have done, nothing shows an allegiance to the country and to, you know, the citizens. And like I was thinking about it, you know, since Biden has come in, and it probably goes back, but we're finding that it does. But, you know, immediately it was, they ordered us to do this. They ordered us to do this. Stand 6 feet, you know, don't see your family. All of these orders and demands, and an oath wouldn't allow that.
Yeah.
You know, a proper oath wouldn't allow that. And I'm dumbing things down, but that's how I had to simplify it to just realize they are not in this for the benefits of this country or the citizens.
And Todd, well, exactly, Lisa, but Todd, previously in previous interviews, including with other hosts, you've talked about the possibility of a 5G broadcast or some kind of communications tower broadcast that could activate properties of molecules that could cause harm or death in people. It seems to me that could that be a backup weapon in case enough Americans wake up that there is a civilian uprising to challenge the fraudulent authoritarians, and they could just push that button and just kill a lot of people?
Absolutely. That technology already exists. There are what they call Huawei WeLink 60 gigahertz 5G transmitters all over the United States. We know that they're operating at the 60 gigahertz level. We know that 60 gigahertz can separate oxygen from nitrogen and literally asphyxiate people in place. We also know that there are other frequencies, for example, the 18 gigahertz frequency that can cause lipid nanoparticles to swell and spill their contents. We don't know what's in these shots. We don't know who got what because they were all experimental. They weren't even manufactured in accordance with GMP, good manufacturing practice. You're an expert in that. So why not, right? When you use your mind and you think, okay, if in 1994 you're sitting in Cairo with all these other heads of state and you all agree we're going to kill 7 billion people, how would you go about doing that? Would you make it a military mission? Would you make sure that you had 10 different vectors of death? Would you make it into a kill box? Would you make it completely controllable? Mandatory. All of those factors are yes, yes, and yes.
And if you were interested in eliminating 7 billion people, you'd try to find a way to get people to help you in their own demise. And they
did that.
They got people to line up and take the suicide shots and even to beg for them, even to pay for them.
Even to pay for them. The joke is on us. And by the way, to clean up the mess after it's gone. Come into the hospital. We'll make sure you leave in a hearse. Pick up the dead on your way. So it was a complete system.
Take the samples out first of the specimens that are infected so that they can make the next new one.
And by the way, Lisa, that's important. You know, they exempted themselves. I think you're aware of this, Mike. The judiciary, the administration, the CDC, the FDA, the judiciary, all exempted themselves from the shots.
Yes, I am aware of that. Yes. But they forced them on others, but exempted themselves. And we are seeing, of course, mass maiming and disability and death. Let me ask you this, Todd. Are you aware of that recent report that said 646 rural hospitals may be at risk of shutting down? We've seen hundreds of maternity wards shutting down across the United States just over the last couple of years since COVID started. And we're finding that employers can't find anybody to work Is it possible that a lot more people have already died than what is being officially acknowledged?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It's all been hidden. And for that matter, you know, you hear different numbers tossed out about the true population of the United States of America. Is it 300 million, 330, 350? How does that number arrive at? I don't believe anything coming out of the government as being fact anymore. You look at the economic statistics coming out of the Bureau of Labor. I mean, are you kidding me?
Right. So, totally fabricated.
So why would we believe any of that? And the answer is yes. You could extrapolate through VAERS. You could extrapolate through the mortality business in insurance world as I live in. And the answer is absolutely positively. The number has got to be multitudes higher.
So they could be pulling off a stealth genocide, frankly, right now.
Yeah, and add in some replacement migration, right? You're not going to miss the people so much if you have people coming in replacing them.
Wow. Wow.
And one more thing to add to that. It makes perfect sense if you're going to all the trouble to do this. Wouldn't you want to mitigate your unfunded liabilities, as in the Social Security Administration, all these pensions that you would have to pay that aren't being funded by existing workers, because it's a system of transfers. There's no pot of gold for them to draw on to pay these people. They've eliminated that liability. And if you think about it, they've replaced it theoretically with migrants. They've exchanged the older generation for a younger one.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Right. And they've killed off the pension collectors and the Medicare and Medicaid recipients. And they brought in largely unvaccinated illegals who are able to reproduce and have families. I mean, this is a clear replacement strategy. Okay, we are we're just about out of time for today, so I want to plug your websites again and then ask you for any wrap up thoughts here. But first, folks, go to vaxchoice.com. Got it on my screen here, and you can learn a lot about various states and where vaccine choice is respected or not. Attorney Todd Callender's website is here. It's called Disabled Rights Advocates, or dradvocates.com. And then in addition, you have this website, fivesmallstones.com. I don't know anything about this website. What's this about, Lisa or Todd?
This is where we created a bunch of self-help legal documents. People could file pro se complaints or administrative complaints, but it was really designed to help people help themselves.
Okay.
And there's still stuff there that people can download.
All right. Downloadable templates and things like that.
That's right.
Okay, perfect. All right. Then final thoughts for both of you. We've covered a lot today. Very shocking interview. Very shocking information you've uncovered, I should say. Lisa, let me ask you to wrap it up first. What should people take away from this interview?
Well, I hope that people just get inspired to, you know, do what I did, you know, start asking questions and demand it. And you're going to get pushback and you're going to get stalled. But if, you know, we have got a country to save and we've got children to save and they're destroying it. And so, you know, it's very empowering, you know, to start to learn about it and learn what their role is. And most importantly, public officials work for us, not the other way around.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They work for us.
All right. Well said. And stick with it, folks, because they will try to slow you down at every opportunity. But if you're persistent, you can make progress like Lisa has done. Todd Callender, what are your takeaway thoughts for this?
I want to add to what Lisa said. It's not the people in the government. Most all of them have gone there because they want to be of service to others. They're patriots. Having said that, the cumulative government itself is malintended. They are not here to help you. They are here to kill you. Do not trust in government. Trust in God.
Yep. Amen.
Yep. Well said. Completely agree. All right. Well, you've given people a lot to think about, and I want to say God bless both of you for your safety and your courage and what you're doing. It's critical for us being able to navigate these trying times. And there are days I wake up and I'm not even sure how many shreds of liberty we still have remaining in this constitutional republic. And although I hope we can turn it around, if we succeed in doing so, it will be due to the efforts of individuals like both of you. So I'm honored to have you on today.
No, likewise, Mike. Really, thank you. You're an inspiration to us.
Yeah.
Well, no, likewise. Oh, and by the way, Todd, you are now, I understand, you want to talk about Clout Hub for a minute?
Yeah. So we, our group, you know, I'm in the insurance industry, and we were given the opportunity to step in to help out Jeff Brain, who was the founder of Cloud Hub, suffered a massive stroke. We were heavily invested in the company, and we ended up acquiring it about a month ago. So now it's part of our group, and we're fixing it up the best we can. It's about truth. We're in the business of getting truth to as many people around the world as we can. And we'll be introducing instant translation software to get your voice, for example, in 72 languages around the planet. My job is to be your force multiplier.
Outstanding. And that's cloudhub.com, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And everybody can go there and create their own accounts for free.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
You okay. Bet. All right. Excellent. Well, we'll talk more about that probably off air, Todd. We'd love to support your efforts there. And thank you, Lisa. It's a pleasure to meet you today. We appreciate all your courage and effort.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you too.
Okay. Outstanding. Well, we'll do this again. Keep us posted. And thank all of you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, free speech video platform that is still censored by Twitter, by the way. We're working on that from a legal perspective. We'll see what happens. Feel free to share this interview. You can repost this entire video if you'd like on your own channels, on other platforms. And of course, go on to Clout Hub and share a link to this as well, because of course, Brighteon is not censored on Clout Hub. Thank you. We appreciate that, Todd. Get the word out. And that's how we're going to revive our republic. This is how we win, is sharing the truth. So thank you for watching today. God bless each and every one of you. And we'll talk again soon with Todd and Lisa. Take care, everybody. Today's interview is brought to you by healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day for our Memorial Day sale event, during which we have numerous items on sale, which is pretty unusual for us. And we also have a lot of items in stock, which is also somewhat unusual. If you go to that address I just mentioned, healthrangerstore.com/Memorial Day, you'll see this sale goes through Monday night. There's up to 55% off some products. We have our Silverite pillows, which are silver-infused pillows using the Kapok seed fiber as a filler, which is naturally water-resistant, and the silver infusion gives this incredible properties. It's two layers of silver, actually, on the outer pillowcase and the inner pillow shell. No expanded polyester or foam or any garbage fillers inside this pillow. It's a very high-end pillow. I think you'll love it. In addition to that, we have many supplements, as you can see here, with different kinds of percentages off, vegan omegas, DHA, and EPA. We have, liposomal vitamin C right here, histamine block plus, and colloidal silver mouthwash, along with other products on sale during this weekend for the Memorial Day event. All of these are in stock as of right now, but they may run out of stock based on, you know, just available inventory. An additional 10% off lab verified supplements and superfoods, and a whole lot more. Hemp seed, grapefruit, essential oil, sprouted almond butter, super seed butter, skinny truffles. That sounds delicious. I've actually had those. They are quite good. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com, and we thank you for your support. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you, simply because I want like-minded people to survive.